Thanks for checking out the latest episode of the Spencer on Sports podcast. Heard weekday afternoons from 2 to 3 on KGYM.
Happy Friday, everybody. How you doing? Spencer on Sports back with you, wrapping up the week this February 17th afternoon here in eastern Iowa. Nice to see the sun after all that snow yesterday. Fresh coat of the white stuff, snow on the ground, and then we're going to melt more of it this weekend. I think that's the same. We talked about this yesterday. That's like the saving grace after, what, like 7 inches? Iowa City almost got like a foot of snow when I saw the news folks reporting this morning. We'll melt some of it. As not a winter fan, I will take the melting. No melting here, just sports talk. It's a Friday afternoon. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you today on the Talker text line. If you want to pick up the phone, talk to Isaac, and he'll punch you through here to the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, or the studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Not the whole side of town. That would be weird. We'd probably get in lots of trouble with the city council and stuff if we somehow you called us and we punched you through to everyone on the southwest side of town. That would be impressive. That would take, like, our engineering staff would need to, like, you know, get a lot of wires put together for that one. But if you want to call Isaac, he'll put you through to the studios and you can chat with me live on the air, or you could send a text to 319-366-1600 and come to you here on KGYM 1600 AM 102.3 FM and Cedar Rapids 106.3 in the Iowa City area. We're streaming at KGYMradio.com and on our free-to-download app for your smartphone. Thanks so much for joining us today. Spencer Wagon, my name, and as I mentioned, producer Isaac is across the glass here today as well. Lots to get to on the show. Going to preview the weekend ahead. Lots of college hoops to get to. We'll talk about the NBA All-Star Game. The festivities kicking off tonight. The Rising Stars Showcase. It's not really a challenge. It's a series of games that are showcasing talent of both rookie year and second year talent in the NBA and the G League too. Always fun to watch, especially if you're a fan of particular players, including one who just finished up a season at the University of Iowa last year, currently a rookie with the Sacramento Kings. Of course, talking about Keegan Murray. He'll be part of that tonight. We'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. Get some NFL headlines for you. Also, look at the XFL. It's back. The X stands for extreme. Does it still stand for extreme? It did back in like 2001, but the XFL returning here this weekend. I know Todd Brommelkamp, host of the Todd Brommelkamp Show here in KGYM, has adopted Arlington as the official team of his show. I feel like we should adopt a team as well, leaning towards the St. Louis Battlehawks, because that was my team back in the XFL 2.0 before the pandemic shut everything down. I'm also kind of leaning toward the Vegas Vipers because of the ability to remember some Packers legends in Brett Hundley and Geronimo Allison, who are both on the Vegas Vipers. So who would you choose? St. Louis? The Battlehawks? Would you let out a mighty caw? Or would you choose the Vipers? 319-366-1600. We'll talk XFL, give you a little preview of what's to come this weekend. The schedule, ESPN Radio has been pushing it. ESPN and ABC, they're heavily involved with it and the coverage of the games this time around. We'll get to that later on in the show. Also, continuing to follow season opener for Hawkeye baseball as they take on Indiana State down in Florida. First two batters of the season went well for starting pitcher Ty Langenberg, but did give up an RBI double in the top half of the first inning to Indiana State. So the Hawkeyes and Coach Rick Heller's squad trail 1-0 that game heading to the bottom half of the first in Florida. We'll keep you up to date on that. Iowa softball in action this afternoon as well, part of the Big Ten ACC Softball Challenge. We'll talk about that later on in the program as well. But let's start with the world of college basketball from last night. Some interesting things happening in the Big Ten last night. We'll start with just down the road in Iowa City, a game. I don't think it was a must win, but certainly did not want to get swept in the season series by Ohio State, a team that we talked about yesterday when we previewed the matchup. Reeling, having lost six in a row, coming into your place. You've been very good all season. Needed to get that win at home and take care of business against a team that at the time when you played them previously back in late January was needing a win, kind of in desperation mode, needed to get off the five-game losing streak that they were on. Got them coming into your place. Chance at quote-unquote revenge to avenge that loss that you had back in Columbus. And Iowa did that. A little bit close in that first half, Iowa pulling away, going into halftime, and the second half was pretty much all Hawkeyes as they win, going away 92-75 last night over Ohio State. Big scorers on the night, Tony Perkins, 24 points, third time this season he's had 20-plus, finishing 11 of 16 from the floor. Chris Murray with his 12th 20-plus point game this season, scoring 20. Nice game from Aaron Ulis as well with 12 points. Peyton Sanford and Philip Rabracha each with 10. But real headline on the night and the real kind of eye-popping stat that you saw when you look at the box score from this one, Connor McCaffrey, 7 points, 6 rebounds, and 13 assists. That's his career high when it comes to assists. So distributing the basketball very well, did not turn the ball over, and really played a big role in helping Iowa get that win last night over Ohio State, and kind of reverse what Ohio State did to them in Columbus. So 13 assists for Connor McCaffrey, an impressive performance, and his dad and head coach Fran McCaffrey weighing in on that performance from last night. Here's what the head coach had to say.
I said that to Connor afterwards. I've never seen that. You know, really impressive game by him on a number of different levels. Just calmed everybody down and, you know, drove it, learned the bonus, flashed into the high post when they went zone and just made plays from there. Brings it up against the press, you know, guarding really good players. He was spectacular tonight. And Philip and Patrick were sick for the last 2 days, so really impressive effort by both of them. I didn't know what we'd get out of either of them. Philip was great. Of course, he got in foul trouble. I was going to go back to him, but with what he's been through the last 2 days, I kept him out. Patrick seemed to be okay, so I let him play through it. He needs to get his legs back under him.
Yeah, a little piece of news there at the end after he weighed in on Connor's performance, but Patrick finishing with 9 points, 3 of 8 from the floor, and you heard him mention Philip, and we talked briefly about him, 10 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 of 7 from the floor. So in just 16 minutes for Rabracha, 20 minutes considering the news that Fran just mentioned there about both players not feeling well in the days leading up to the game. Certainly got to give them a ton of credit for their performance last night as well. Back to Connor McCaffrey. Let's hear from Connor himself about what was working, what led to that 13-assist performance last night.
I feel like there's definitely times when you can kind of get in his own as like a passer, just as like a shooter. You're just seeing things, you're seeing cutters. I got to credit, you know, my teammates as well, because if they're not cutting, if they're not running in transition, and especially if they're not making shots, you know, that doesn't happen. But tonight, all those things were in unison, and so I was pretty locked in. I'm just trying to find, you know, I found Tony, I found Patrick, I found Chris, found Peyton, I think. I mean, it was pretty much, you know, I feel like it was a pretty high dose of everyone. So I was just, you know, I was definitely in a different type of zone.
Connor's 13 assists, the most assists in a game for Iowa since Jordan Bohannon had 14 against Minnesota back in 2021. The Hawkeyes led early on, led by as much as 7 in that first half. Ohio State got close with an 8-0 run, had a 36-35 lead with 2:56 left in the first half, and then really where that game turned was a 12-0 run to close out the half as the Hawkeyes went into the break, leading 47-36. It was 3 straight threes in that run. to go from down one to up eight. Connor McCaffrey, Peyton Sanford, and Chris Murray hitting three-pointers in a row to help Iowa build up that 11-point advantage at the break. Buckeyes did get as close as 11 in the early stages of the second half last night, but Iowa pulled away and got their lead to as much as 28 points, 88-60, with 5:30 left in the ballgame. Connor McCaffrey talking as well after the game. We talked about when you looked at the previous matchup with Ohio State in the second half and how that got away from Iowa, and this one kind of the reverse with Iowa doing the pulling away as opposed to Ohio State. Connor talking about what changed defensively from the first meeting with the Buckeyes in Columbus.
I thought we locked into personnel a little bit better. I thought that we definitely, like, we kind of knew who we were guarding, knew what they wanted to do, you know, stuck to some player tendencies, some scouting report things, and just attention to detail. And then, like, when we did get stops, we strung them together. Like, we had, you know, we were getting three in a row, things like that. Because we really played well on defense until about the last 6-7 minutes, when I think we got up 27, whatever it was, and we kind of took the foot off the gas a little bit, which we can't do. But for the most part, I think our defense was really good.
Connor McCaffrey there. The Hawkeyes last night getting 16 points off of 14 turnovers by Ohio State. Iowa turning the ball over just 7 times in the game, which resulted in only 4 points for Ohio State. Points in the paint dominated by Iowa, won by Iowa, maybe not necessarily quote-unquote dominated, 44-36. And rebounding was big again. Iowa having a significant advantage, winning the rebounding battle 30-22, especially in the offensive glass, 11 offensive boards for Iowa to just 2 for Ohio State. And Fran McCaffrey weighed in about why it was important to win that rebounding battle against a team like Ohio State.
That's crucial. I mean, they got a lot of running rebounders. You know, they only got 2 back. They missed 21 shots, only got 2 back. That, you know, that's going to give you look at that stat line, you're going to have a shot to win. So good job by our guys. We'd like to have done a better job on McNeil. He got free a couple times early and he got cooking. But he made some tough shots too. But the bottom line is we didn't give him any seconds, any putbacks, no easy baskets. And we kept him off the free throw line the entire second half.
Ohio State's in the game led by Sean McNeil. He finished with 20 points. Bryce Sensabaugh with 16 and Bruce Thornton with 11. All told, Iowa now 13-2 at home this season, 7-0 on the year when they score 90-plus points. And the winning continues, now 5 of their last 6 and 9 wins in their last 12 games. And the Hawkeyes getting to 17-9 overall, 9-6 in the Big Ten. Ohio State with the loss, which is their 7th in a row, 11-15 overall, 3-12 in the Big Ten. And like I said, their 7th straight loss. Their only win in that stretch, which is now what, 12 of 13? 12 losses in the last 13 games. That one win was that game against Iowa, and really it looks more and more like that was just a case of desperation, kind of a perfect storm that Iowa was walking into in that contest. I think we might view it a little differently if Ohio State had been able to win some of these games instead of losing them. But Ohio State coming into Carver Hawkeye Arena last night and falling to Iowa as the Hawkeyes defend their home court. That sets up a pretty big matchup coming up here this weekend as, well, now you've got Iowa in a tie for third place. 3 teams now tied for third in the Big Ten with Indiana, Maryland, and Iowa, all 2.5 back of Purdue. And Purdue making headlines last night. We'll tell you about that here coming up in just a moment. But facing a good Northwestern team who just knocked off Purdue and Indiana in consecutive games this week. Came into Carver back on January 31st. Iowa able to pull away and win 86-70. You know, Northwestern is hungry to maybe return the favor and get a victory against Iowa. Kind of reverse the script from what we saw in that game back on January 31st. Northwestern a game up on the Hawkeyes after this week's results. Northwestern sitting at 10-5, 1.5 back of Purdue, one game up on that three-way tie for third. So it's going to be a tough game, and Connor McCaffrey weighed in about Sunday's matchup with Northwestern and gave us his thoughts about the rematch with the Wildcats.
I'm excited. I mean, that's a good team. They got veteran guys. They got really good guards. They defend. They really guard. And, you know, I know here we kind of got hot at the end, so they're going to be on a bit of a revenge tour, definitely. But, you know, that's a team who they beat Purdue and IU back-to-back at home when I think people were – I mean, you looked at their schedule after their – I don't know what they started at, but you see Purdue, IU, us. Like, I think they go to Rutgers. I think they got IU again. Like, that – you know, they're – or no, I'm sorry. I think they have Purdue again maybe. But either way, like, they had a tough stretch upcoming, and I think maybe some people – like, oh, you know, they're going to lose. Like, they'll lose. And no, like, they compete and they freaking go out and they play hard every single game. And, I mean, Coach Collins, obviously a great coach. I've known Boo for forever. I mean, that dude can go. He saw last night making the game winner. So I'm really excited going into this game. It's gonna be a fun one. And it looks like their home atmosphere has finally picked up a little bit. So in the past, it's like all Iowa fans. But it looks like they've been coming out a little better. So hopefully we can still rival them a little bit, some black and gold.
Since losing back-to-back games, so speaking of Northwestern specifically, since losing back-to-back games against Iowa and Michigan on January 31st and February 2nd, Wildcats have won four in a row, winning at Wisconsin, at Ohio State, and then those back-to-back home wins against then number one Purdue and number 14, Indiana, on Wednesday. So they're looking for three straight wins over some quality opponents here before they play three of their final four on the road. Connor, reading off at least part of their schedule, or trying to list off at least part of their schedule, Northwestern's schedule after playing Iowa on Sunday, they are at Illinois, at Maryland, they host Penn State, and then they play at Rutgers for the finale on March 5th. So some tough games, as Connor mentioned, coming up. But Northwestern is playing some good ball, and they are almost certainly, I'd lock them in to the NCAA tournament for just the second time in school history. After the season they've had, 19-7, 10-5 in the Big Ten, even if they lose out, they're 10-10 in league play, which they're not going to lose out, I don't think. But I think the Wildcats for sure are in the NCAA tournament and are definitely looking to improve their seed here as we hit the home stretch of the Big Ten season. So Hawkeyes with the win, again, 92-75 over Ohio State, and Northwestern, the next opponent coming up on Sunday. 5:30 start time, that will be on the Big Ten Network. The other big news from last night, Purdue losing again. Boilermakers won't be reclaiming that number one spot after Alabama lost earlier this week. Now, two in a row and three of their last four have been losses. All three losses in that span for the Boilermakers have been on the road. Falling at Maryland, the Terps are really good at home. We talked about that. I said I thought Purdue was going to bounce back from the loss to Northwestern, so I didn't necessarily call a loss, but Maryland surging ahead in that second half. They trailed 28-25 at halftime, outscoring Purdue 43-26 in the second half last night. They were down, 37-29 and went on a 29-4 run. The Terps, 29-4 run to surge in front of Purdue, ended up winning 68-54. So the Boilermakers take another loss. It's the first win. This was highlighted several times last night on the game if you watched it. The first win over a top three team for Maryland since beating then number three Iowa back in January of 2016. Maryland improving to 14-1 at home this season with the win. So you look at the Big Ten standings here. Purdue's lead now down to just 1.5 games on second place Northwestern. So you know Northwestern's got a lot to play for. There's a possibility, not saying they're going to do it, but there's a possibility that they could maybe overtake Purdue. I think it's a tall task, but Purdue's got some tough ones coming up, and we'll see what happens here down the stretch. But Northwestern now within 1.5 games. I mentioned that three-way tie between Iowa, Maryland, and Indiana, all 2.5 back of Purdue. And then Illinois and Michigan State still three games back. So not over yet in the Big Ten after Purdue loses for the third time in four games last night. Some bad news for Ohio State, and I will make this prediction. Ohio State gets Purdue in West Lafayette on Sunday. That's the noon game on CBS, part of their road to March coverage that they do each year. Yeah. I think Ohio State's, I'm going to make the bold prediction. And who knows, I could be wrong. The bold prediction that Ohio State's losing streak will go to eight games. Going into West Lafayette, facing a Purdue team that has lost two in a row, three of four. Not a good recipe for Ohio State to break a seven-game losing streak. I think that goes without saying. 225 here at Spencer Out Sports. Thanks for joining us here on a Friday. A little more college hoops talk. We'll work in some NBA, talk a little bit about the Rising Stars Showcase, which you can hear on KGYM tonight from ESPN Radio. Features Keegan Murray. We'll talk about that. Look back at the final results from the last couple regular season games before the All-Star break as well in the association. All that and more after this timeout. It's Spencer Out Sports here at KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
Good morning. I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast. And we are going to have plenty of sunshine at least today, but it is still going to be cold. Temperatures will be held to the low 20s this afternoon. Later on tonight, under clear skies, we drop down into the teens. And then tomorrow, we are going to have temperatures back above freezing. That's your latest weather first forecast.
There's a reason Hertin & Stocker Jewelers annual sale is famous. The savings are incredible, and it only happens once a year. The sale is Saturday and Monday only, and here's the kind of famous savings you'll get. Colored stone jewelry is up to 60% off, including a huge selection of colored stone rings. Diamond fashion jewelry is up to 50% off, including anniversary style and wedding bands. Also enjoy savings of 20% off sterling silver estate jewelry. Plus, save an additional 10% off all gold estate pieces, which are already priced to sell. You can see why these savings are only offered once a year. With an event this famous, shoppers are excited, and you don't want to miss out. So make sure you're at the famous annual sale, happening from 10 to 5 Saturday and Monday, only at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, corner of Dubuque and Washington in downtown Iowa City. While you're saving, say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
It's your last chance to get a free rug when you update your furniture at Menards. That's right. Buy any in-stock upholstered living room furniture at $299 or more and get a free 5x7 area rug. That's $149.99 in savings. The sale ends February 18th. If you need a new chair, sectional recliner, or loveseat, you better buy one today to get a free rug. Hurry to Menards while supplies last.
Save big money at Menards.
When you buy your own health insurance, you deserve a doctor who's your biggest champion and coverage you can be confident in. And with new Wellmark health insurance plans featuring Unity Point Health, that's what you can expect. These plans help you build a relationship with your Unity Point Health primary care providers and network partners, starting with free preventive and virtual care, plus low copays for primary care with a doctor who always has your back. Connect with an agent to help you enroll at wellmark.com/UPH.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Todd Brommelkamp show coming up today between 4 and 6. Preceding that is the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. That's on from 3 until 4 here on KGYM. 319-366-1600. Glad to be with you on a Friday. Get to a little NBA, maybe some football news, and updates in college baseball. In fact, I do have a development in Florida. Mentioned Iowa baseball. Hellerball opening its 2023 campaign today in the Snowbird College Baseball Classic in Florida. Indiana State getting an RBI double in the first. Iowa notching a run. Sam Peterson with a home run to left field in the bottom half of the second. So the Hawkeyes and Sycamores all tied up at one apiece. That game in the bottom half of the second. Iowa with a runner on, one out in the bottom half of inning number two in Florida. We'll talk about the rest of the weekend for Iowa baseball and softball coming up if we get some time later on in the show. But 2-1 now as I speak. Sam Honar with an RBI double put the Hawkeyes up a run in Florida over the Indiana State Sycamores. So update there. We'll keep you updated on that local shows throughout the rest of the program, local programming today here on KGYM. Looking at the rest of the college basketball weekend, mentioned the Big Ten slate, including poor Ohio State. I feel weird saying that. I feel like you should never associate Ohio State with, like, feeling sorry for them, in a sense, considering it's Ohio State we're talking about here. But Ohio State and Purdue, a little bit of motivation for that Purdue team after back-to-back losses. That's on Sunday at noon. Iowa Northwestern, should be a very good basketball game from Evanston coming up Sunday night at 5:30. Tomorrow, you've got Illinois and Indiana. That's 11 a.m. start time on ESPN from Bloomington. Wisconsin hosting Rutgers. Also, tomorrow night, Michigan State back on the court, and really cool to see their rivals, obviously, Michigan and Michigan State. But University of Michigan, sounds like they're going all out to help the Spartans get back on the court and honor the memory of those lost in the shooting on Monday in East Lansing. Juwan Howard, supposedly, I've heard that he's reached out, his staff reached out to Tom Izzo and the Michigan State staff, and they're going to have moment of silence, all that stuff as part of that game. So good, obviously the rivals, but when one thing happens, a tragic event happens at your rival school, still kind of rolling out the red carpet and being there for your rival is great to see. So that game is going to be played as scheduled. Michigan State, Michigan men's basketball, 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and then Minnesota hosting Penn State. That's 8 o'clock tomorrow night on BTN. The other game Sunday, sandwiched in between Purdue, Ohio State, and the Iowa Northwestern game, is the Nebraska and Maryland. Should be interesting. Maryland's really good at home. Nebraska's been playing a little bit better. They're a dangerous team, so we'll see if they can catch the Terps riding a high after that win over Purdue last night. That's a 4 o'clock start on Sunday afternoon. Big one of the Big 12 tomorrow. Actually, two really good games in the Big 12 tomorrow. You've got a game you can hear right here on KGYM tomorrow afternoon with Iowa State and Kansas State, the rematch. Of course, the Cyclones won the first meeting in Ames earlier this year. K-State out for a little bit of revenge, maybe, as they welcome the Cyclones into Manhattan. It's a 1 o'clock start on ESPN. Radio coverage from Learfield will start at noon tomorrow right here on the gym. Other good game right after that one. So a Big 12 doubleheader tomorrow with lots of implications in the standings. Iowa State, Kansas State at 1 o'clock. The microphone's like in a weird position, so sometimes if I move my hand, I accidentally bump it. So sorry if that caused any like feedback or anything to any of you listening out there. Anyways, Iowa State, Kansas State at 1 o'clock, followed by number 5 Kansas hosting number 9 Baylor, 3 o'clock on ESPN. Two really good Big 12 games tomorrow on the mothership. But in fact, looking at the schedule, kind of piecing it together, I have it broken down by conference. But you've got at 11 tomorrow, Indiana hosting Illinois. 1 o'clock, you've got K-State, Iowa State. And then at 3 o'clock, you've got Baylor and Kansas. So three really good basketball games. You could just turn your TV on and leave it there if you're a big fan of college hoops, watching some good basketball tomorrow from the Big Ten and the Big 12. Other Big 12 games tomorrow, you got Texas Tech and West Virginia, a couple teams. West Virginia in particular looking to get off the conversation of the bubble and get their way back into solidly in the tournament status for West Virginia. That's an 11 a.m. start there. Texas hosting Oklahoma, TCU, and Oklahoma State. That should be a good one as well. That is a 1 o'clock start tomorrow, too. In-state action, you and I at Missouri State, and that's tomorrow. And then Sunday, Drake is hosting Belmont, the 2 o'clock start on the CBS Sports Network. Did have an upset last night in the top 25. If you qualified an upset, Middle Tennessee knocking off number 25 Florida Atlantic 74-70. Number 2 Houston, number 4 UCLA, number 8 Arizona And number 13, Gonzaga. Also number 17, St. Mary's. All winning in the top 25 for men's action last night. Big Ten women's action. Indiana still playing some really good ball in the Big Ten side of things for women's basketball. They topped Michigan yesterday 68-52. We'll see Caitlin Clark and the Iowa women in action tomorrow, too. 1 o'clock on BTN as they travel to Nebraska. Iowa State women in action as they take on Baylor down in Waco tomorrow night. That is a 5 o'clock start on ESPN+. Plus, last night, Missouri Valley women's hoops. UNI falling to Illinois State 72-70. Drake beating Bradley 81-49. So that's a look at the world of college hoops. When it comes to bracketology, for those curious, we're midway through the month of February, almost done with the month because it ends in the 28th. But bracketology, Joey Brackett's out with his latest projection. As of earlier this morning, Purdue's loss drops them off the number one overall seed range. His new number one overall seed is Alabama. He has three teams from the state of Iowa in the tournament for the Hawkeyes. Has Iowa as a number six seed playing in Columbus. And the draw, it's rather intriguing. Again, not guaranteed to happen. Just a projection from Mr. Lenardi. But if it were come to fruition, it would be a rather challenging. It would be an interesting, first off, first four. And then a really challenging draw for the Hawkeyes. Joe Lenardi has Iowa as a sixth seed playing the winner of the number 11 matchup in the first four between Kentucky and North Carolina. Imagine a first four game between Kentucky and North Carolina. And like as we talked about the other day when we looked at his projection that had, I think it was Kentucky in and Carolina out, or maybe vice versa. It's not out of the realm of possibility we would have potentially a Kentucky-North Carolina matchup or see both schools in the first four. In fact, the last four in per Joe Lenardi as of today, Kentucky, North Carolina, Wisconsin, and Clemson. What a weird year in college hoops when three teams you basically consider locks for the NCAA tournament at any given year. Hey, you've had up and down years here and there, but when you talk about teams that more often than not, you're like, okay, you mentioned that team. Yep, tournament team. Kentucky, North Carolina, and Wisconsin. Maybe not Clemson. Clemson has had some decent wins. They've had some bad losses as well, so you can kind of see why they're in that last four grouping here for 2023, but Joe Lenardi has Iowa playing the winner of the Kentucky-North Carolina play-in game, which would be certainly an interesting matchup, having a blue blood go up against you in that first round. The 3-14, for what it's worth, projects Marquette. He's having a fantastic year taking on Eastern Washington. Iowa State still at a 4, playing in Albany, New York, according to the projection from Joe Lenardi. And he also has Drake winning the Missouri Valley Conference, playing as a number 12 seed, taking on the Indiana Hoosiers in Orlando, which I think would be a very entertaining matchup. Not guaranteed to happen, just what Joe Lenardi is thinking. But Iowa versus either Kentucky or North Carolina would certainly get a lot of views and create some anxiety as well. That is certainly true probably for Hawkeye fans if you were to see that matchup. The other big headline Joey Brackett's talking about today, pardon me, the Pac-12, talking about the big gap between his little write-up about his projection, talking about the huge gap between the two really good teams in the Pac-12 between UCLA and Arizona, and then the next two teams that Joe Lenardi has even in the conversation from the Pac-12 are USC and Oregon, and he has the Trojans and Ducks in the first four out grouping. So you talk about the Pac-12, and we've seen that before with them where power conference only getting two teams in. We might be headed toward that again here in 2023 if things don't change around quickly for those schools. So we'll see how that all plays out. But I thought that was rather interesting projection with Kentucky, North Carolina, and Wisconsin as part of the last four in. Des Moines teams, for what it's worth, in his projection, just looking around here, he has Kansas playing in Des Moines, Missouri, and Duke as well. Duke invasion of Des Moines. Drake fans wear blue and white. Duke fans do as well. Will there be some confusion there if that were to happen? Duke coming into Des Moines. Hey, look at all these Drake fans here. Oh, wait, no, those are all Duke fans. I don't think there'd be confusion because you could easily tell them apart. He also has Gonzaga and TCU, for what it's worth, as among the seeds playing in Des Moines, if that were to play out like that. But Joe Lenardi's got his latest bracketology set up on ESPN.com if you so choose to check it out. 2:39, we'll get to a break here momentarily. Quick look at the NBA. I mentioned All-Star Weekend kicking off here tonight. Some question, what is going to happen to Giannis? Of course, one of the team captains for the All-Star game. He got hurt last night. Win over the Bulls for Milwaukee. The Bucks have won 12 in a row, ending the first part of the season, going into the All-Star break on a 12-game winning streak, beating Chicago by 12 last night, 112-100. But Giannis spraining his wrist. Head coach Mike Budenholzer saying X-rays were negative. They were clean. So yet to be determined how much time he is going to miss and his status for the All-Star game this weekend as a team captain, Team Giannis versus Team LeBron, certainly up in the air if he is able to play coming up this weekend. I'm sure he'll probably still be the captain, just maybe not play for the game this weekend. But the Bucks getting the win. Nice night for A.J. Green. Shout out to you and I, Panther fans, probably proud. I'm sure you're proud to see A.J. Green out there. And Green finishing with 5 3-pointers, 15 points in the win for Milwaukee last night over Chicago. So a nice night. Brooke Lopez leading the way with 33 for the Bucks. Nikola Vucevic with 22 and 16 in the loss for the Bulls. Timberwolves losing to Washington last night, 114-106, and then the Clippers beating Phoenix 116-107. Mentioned the Rising Stars showcase tonight. You've got it's a three-game mini tournament among four teams comprised of NBA rookies, sophomores, and G League players. If you're looking for Keegan Murray tonight, he is on Team Powell. Pau Gasol is the team captain, one of the team captains. And there was a draft held, and he drafted Keegan Murray. So if you're looking for Keegan tonight, he is part of Pau Gasol's team. As part of the Rising Stars teams, his teammates Paolo Banchero, Benedict Mathurin, Jaden Ivey, Scotty Barnes, Jose Alvarado, and Andrew Nembhard, the teammates of Keegan Murray on Team Pau. There's also a team headed by Deron Williams, the former Fighting Illini, and Joakim Noah, also with a team in the tournament as well, as we remember some NBA guys here, part of the Rising Stars. But that starts 8 o'clock tonight. There's the celebrity game tonight, too, which if you're just looking for something to watch, that might be worthwhile. But I think I'll definitely be checking out the Rising Stars. Always fun to watch. You know, I'm big into collect rookie cards as a card collector, so I like to check out the young talent in the NBA. It's a good way to do that tonight, especially with some local and state of Iowa interest there with Keegan Murray on one of the teams. Definitely will be checking that out. Again, we'll have the coverage tonight at 8 right here on KGYM, courtesy of ESPN Radio. Coming up on 2:43, quick timeout, get to a little football, and update you on college baseball on the way next here in the gym.
Sweetness is in the air. Sweethearts, sweet treats. And now Imon is offering the sweetest deal of the year on their fastest reliable fiber internet service. Sign up with Imon and get free internet service for 2 full months. That's right, Iowa's most reliable internet, one all-in monthly price, 2 full months free. All backed by the sweetest local customer support available. The best deal of the year is only available until February 26th. So give Imon a try today and enjoy 2 full months of internet free. Visit go.imon.net/radio to make the switch to Imon. New residential customers only. Other restrictions apply.
Working out has proven to increase your self-esteem, help with depression, anxiety, and stress. At iGym, we care about you as a person. That's why we have personal trainers who can tailor a plan for weight loss and strength, group exercise classes, saunas, and other amenities to help you keep a positive work-life balance.
This year, I'm doing it for me.
This year, I'm joining iGym for me.
Start your health journey for less than a dollar a day. Come in for a free tour or go to joinigymia.com to learn more.
The Dominique Foxworth Show.
I believe that most quarterbacks and probably more players are failed than the players themselves not being good. It's the coaches and the situation failing them. I was just thinking that we should start the Shanahan test or the Andy Reid test. When we start talking about players stink or players are bust, especially offensive players, just ask yourself, what would he look like in San Francisco or in Kansas City?
Check out the Dominique Foxworth Show anywhere you get your podcast.
Dell Technologies President's Day event is here with deals to power all your passions. The savings start now on select sleek XPS laptops and more, powered by 12th Gen Intel Core processors. Don't forget special pricing on the latest monitors, docks, and accessories, plus free shipping on everything and monthly payment options with Dell Preferred Account. Just call 877-ASK-DELL for these limited time President's Day deals. That's 877-ASK-DELL, 877-ASK-DELL.
Back at 2:45 with Spencer on Sports here on this Friday afternoon, 319-366-1600. Glad to be back with you here on a Friday. Starting to wind down the program. Headed off to the gym class coming up in about 15 minutes here today. They've got John Bonenkamp joining them at 3:30 this afternoon, talking some Hawkeye hoops and more with John. That's part of the show today. We'll preview the rest of our local shows coming up here in just a little bit. News from the football world. Big news out of the NFL. One of the big stories today. SportsCenter talked about this at the top of the hour. But in case you missed it, Derek Carr reportedly visiting with the New York Jets this weekend. That's according to NFL Network insider Mike Garofalo. Of course, there was that brief time where it seemed like there was going to be a trade for Derek Carr to the New Orleans Saints. That didn't happen after Carr basically said, I'm not letting you trade me, so you're going to have to release me. So the Raiders are like, okay, yeah, we're going to release you. And that frees him up to look for employment elsewhere. And he's expected to have some solid interest, plenty of interest for Carr. There's a number of teams out there, Jets included, looking for a starting quality option under center. Of course, a lot of rumors. You'll hear it on ESPN radio, particularly with Mike Greenberg and the Jets fans in the house, that we want Aaron Rodgers. They're all in for Aaron Rodgers. Well, we'll see what happens with Derek Carr's visit here in New York to the Jets. If they like what they see, like what they hear, if Carr likes what he sees and likes what he hears, does he pull the trigger and say, yeah, I want to go to New York? It sounds like the Saints are still in play for Carr's services as they look for a potential upgrade. Of course, Jameis Winston's still there. Not sure Andy Dalton's status going forward, but we'll see how this we'll see how Carr's visit goes. We'll see if that accelerates the timeline for the Aaron Rodgers decision. Of course, Rodgers undergoing his 4 days of darkness. See how that goes. Spending 4 days in complete darkness trying to get your thoughts. Didn't have time to read it. Speaking of Rodgers, saw a column out suggested, and I don't know how legit it is, if it's just speculation, but columnist suggesting that the Packers are done with Rodgers. The front office, they haven't said it, but front office is upset with Rodgers and they are ready to ship him elsewhere. We'll see. Darkness retreat is going on apparently this weekend, and we'll find out, I guess, in due time what the darkness leads us to. Speaking of the Packers, some good news for Packer fans. Aaron Jones, he is going to be sticking around in Green Bay. Team and the running back reaching an agreement Friday on a reduced salary for the 2023 season. That's announced by his agents to ESPN's Adam Schefter. He was scheduled, Aaron Jones was, to make $16 million. He agreed to cut that by $5 million in exchange for a signing bonus of $8.52 million as part of his total pay of $11 million for the 2023 season. So Aaron Jones, one of the best in the league, both receiving and running the football. We'll be back in Green Bay for 2023. That announced here earlier today. And some news. We might have do we call it a saga, the Eric Bieniemy saga? It seems like every year, maybe they could hire him. He could be the next head coach here. And he stays in Kansas City, which it's worked out well for him in the end. I mean, you know, offensive coordinator with Patrick Mahomes, multi-time Super Bowl winner. Yeah, can't blame him for sticking where he's been, but sounds like potential for him to be the new offensive coordinator for the Washington Commanders. This is according to CBS Sports NFL insider Jonathan Jones. Bieniemy apparently the Commanders' top candidate for the open offensive coordinator position. NFL media reporting both sides have mutual interest, and the hire could become official as soon as today. The two sides were meeting earlier today. About the job, Bieniemy has been in Kansas City since 2013, served as their offensive coordinator since 2018. His contract with the Chiefs expired this offseason, and he's reportedly spent the last couple days visiting with the Washington Commanders. In turn, kind of an interesting move. The Chiefs, if they are indeed going to be searching for a new offensive coordinator, that could mean Chiefs quarterbacks coach Matt Nagy would be the potential first in line for that job. Former Bears coach Matt Nagy being the offensive coordinator in Kansas City. Wonder how Bear fans feel about that. But that is not a done deal yet, but could see Matt Nagy leading the Chiefs and their offense to the next road to the Super Bowl here if Bieniemy does indeed move on to another job. Speaking of football, I've teased this last couple shows. The XFL is back this weekend. Four games to enjoy. You got Las Vegas and Arlington tomorrow, Orlando and Houston tomorrow night. St. Louis, the Battlehawks taking on San Antonio on Sunday, and then Seattle taking on D.C. on Sunday night. So two games, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. Each day, Saturday and Sunday, as the XFL begins its third season. Of course, came and went in 2001, and then was shut down early, one of the first casualties of the pandemic when it comes to sports. ESPN saying that stats from this new launch of the league will be kept separate when it comes to the other two seasons. So you're not going to see players who maybe were in the league back in 2020 who are returning in 2023 have their stats continue on. It's just considered a separate iteration, essentially, in it. Some different rules in the game, kind of a test ground from what it sounds like, to see if maybe, hey, if it works in the XFL, you're going to see it in the NFL in the coming years. I thought it was interesting. Teams, when they score a touchdown, they'll have three options. After scoring a touchdown, you can get 1 point from the 2 yard line, 2 points from the 5 yard line, or 3 points from the 10 yard line. So opportunity for a 3 point conversion. I know that was part of it, if I remember right, back in 2020. It's been so long. There's only like a bajillion things happening in our world in 2020 when the XFL got shut down. So pardon me for not remembering some rules from 3 years ago. But going to see some different rules, going to see some names you haven't heard of in a while. Of course, Arlington coached by Bob Stoops, their head coach. I was just looking through some of the notable names that are part of the coaching staffs and notable players. Terrell Buckley is the coach of Orlando. Jim Haslett is the head coach out in Seattle. Ron Zook, the defensive coordinator. And then I mentioned before, trying to decide what team we are going to support here on Spencer on Sports. Kind of leaning toward St. Louis just for proximity, but Vegas and all the teams, really, if you are up for remembering some guys, can aid you in remembering of some college guys or some NFL guys with your favorite team. So we'll follow the action. We'll report back on Monday, and your homework assignment, if you so choose it. You don't have to do it. You won't fail the radio show if you don't do it. But if you watch the XFL, honestly, let me know what you think Monday here on the show. Through 253 here at KGYM. I'll take a quick timeout, back to wrap it up, get you an update from Iowa baseball in Florida after this here in the gym. Oh, oh, oh.
O'Reilly.
Count on the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle and budget. Get maximum cooling system performance for 10 years or 300,000 miles with peak long life universal pre-mixed antifreeze and coolant. Now just $6.99 after mail-in rebate. Plus, get 2x O Rewards points. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Limit supply. See store for details.
Bundling and saving with Geico is an easy choice, so you're free to ponder life's big questions, like, what's the best animal in the world if not humans? I'd strongly consider ducks to be somewhere up there on the list. Think about it. Ducks can swim, ducks can fly, and ducks can walk on land. They have access to all terrains. They are the ultimate animal. And they wiggle their butts when they walk, which is funny. Yeah, ducks are awesome. End of story. Bundling and saving with Geico. It's an easy choice.
And just like that, we're back, wrapping it up here on a Friday afternoon. It's Spencer on Sports here at KGYM. Quick update from Florida. The Iowa baseball team locked at a 2-2 tie with Indiana State. Hoosiers pushing a run across in the top half of the fourth inning. Iowa got two in the bottom of the second to tie the game, or actually to take a lead. Indiana State getting a run back in the top of the fourth. So tied up at two, bottom half of the fourth. Nobody out. Iowa up to bat as they start their season down in Port Charlotte, Florida. First of three games this weekend for the Hawkeyes squad with Coach Rick Heller. They'll play today, or they are playing today. They'll play tomorrow morning at 10 against Quinnipiac. Brody Brecht will get the start for the Hawkeyes, and then Marcus Morgan, the Iowa City native, will get the start Sunday, 9 a.m., also against Quinnipiac. Those games, I believe, are on Flow Sports, which you have to pay for to watch. So if you want to check those out, you'll need to subscribe to that here this weekend. The Iowa softball team also in action, 4-1 season starts as they played in Boca Raton, Florida last weekend. Iowa taking on NC State and Syracuse, part of the ACC Big Ten Softball Challenge. Yes, they have it for softball. I wonder if that's sticking around with all the changes and stuff. But Iowa and NC State playing today. They'll take on Syracuse and NC State again tomorrow, and then Syracuse again for a solo game on Sunday. Iowa State Cyclone softball team also in action this weekend out in Fresno, part of the Fresno State Kickoff Classic. We'll keep you up to date on those on Monday's show here on the program. Several texts telling me that Indiana State is the Sycamores. Yes, I know that. Did I say something wrong? I'm guessing I said something wrong. 6182 calling me a knucklehead. Thank you. Great end to my weekend. What did I say? Indiana State Sycamores. I thought I said that, but maybe I said something wrong. Yes. Did I say Hoosiers? I am wrong. Very, very wrong. Not the Hoosiers. I've been talking about too much college basketball here on the program. That might be why. Indiana State Sycamores. Yes, I know my mascots. Thank you, everyone, for correcting me. I am terrible at my job, and you, the listeners, are better at my job. Maybe the listeners should do my show. I'll just read your texts for a full hour on Monday. Come on. Sycamores, yes. Indiana State Sycamores. Robert Tunyon, Indiana State. Remember some Sycamores coming Monday to Spencer on Sports. That's my homework assignment. Your homework assignment is to watch the XFL. Back here Monday at 2. Try and do better the next time. Gym class up next.